Welcome back to Dr. Brastax. So someone is asking me to comment on the Guyana situation. He asked if I can comment on the situation / circus in Guyana. Consistent with the comments I made in the beginning, I too find it to be a circus. My understanding is that today we should hear some reaction from the from GCOM regarding whether or not they will set aside the results and essentially suggest the election has to be done over. If the election has to be done over, as they say, it will require an interim administration. The concern I have is that, to start with, I don't know that there's a constitutional basis to throw out the data for the election that has been held, because the reality is that the APNU was happy with that information when it showed they were winning. Now that it shows that they're losing, they seem to be unhappy with it, and they have discovered all manner of issues with it, which reflects very badly on them. My feeling is that GCOM does not really have the authority as an agency, and certainly if it is anything like our Electoral and Boundaries Commission, I can't imagine the chief elections officer saying, well, this is what I have collected, but I don't think it can stand up to credibility, so I'm suggesting that you throw it out and have another election, because it would also mean replacing GCOM, which is a challenge in and of itself to do. Requires a certain level of bipartisan support. So for that reason alone, I think the idea of doing it over, as they are suggesting, is farcical. I believe that you have a result, you have an election, you have a result, and you ought to swear in the opposition, not the opposition leader, the presidential candidate for the opposition. I don't really see any way around it. And quite frankly, if GCOM seems set to do anything other than that, I suspect the matter will end up in court. So my feeling is that the matter is headed to court one way or the other, and I expect that either by the end of today or tomorrow, we're going to hear the High Court sitting to deal with this question as to what options GCOM has under these circumstances, which I think is unfortunate, really unfortunate. Dr. Brastax, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Yes, Mr. Wickham, this is Kemar Stewart from the Young Democrats.
Hey, Kemar, how are you going? Wait, you're a Young Democrat?
Yes, I am the president of the Young Democrats.
Okay. Oh, no, this is the other Kemar. Okay. I thought this was the feeding Kemar. This is the other one.
Yes.
Right, this is the ULP Kemar. UPP Kemar? Is it UPP?
No, this is Kemar Stewart.
I know, but you weren't with the UPP before?
All right. That's not what he called, Mr. Wickham. He called because... Earlier, I heard my name being mentioned on the program by Mr. Patrick King.
He did? So I don't recall that he did.
You don't recall?
What he was saying about you, I don't remember.
Oh, so you were not participating in the program?
I was, but I probably tuned out at that point. Maybe I was on Facebook or something.
You said that I was young and I was dumb and I don't know what I'm speaking about.
I think that would be an unfortunate characterization. Michelle is alarmed because she didn't hear that. She wouldn't have allowed to let that to go. He can say you're young, but he can't call you dumb unless you're here to be able to say that. I don't know you to be dumb. So,
I was just going to clarify any misconception.
I think what he was suggesting is that there are a lot of young people in the Democratic Labor Party that do not really understand what is happening in terms of how the party is functioning and so on. I think that's the point he was making, which is not to say that you're dumb, which is basically just to say that the party is operating in a way that you may not be fully aware of.
Come on, Mr. Wickham. The disrespect that Mr. Patrick King forth is very unbecoming of the young man.
Because Kemar, Patrick is not, to start with, Patrick is not a young man, right? Patrick is a senior. He is, I believe he's older than me and older than you. Well, he's older than you for sure. I believe he's even older than me. But the more important thing is that Patrick has no love of the Democrat Labor Party.
But that has nothing to do with me. Right. Anytime he mentions my name in public, but I don't know. I never mentioned 10 words about the gentleman.
Kemar,
It's rather unfortunate that he would call and mention my name in that regard, and then he continued to disrespect and abuse members of the Democratic Labor Party who probably won't be abusing. He is rather out of this to be disrespecting the president of this organization. Whatever roles he has with the Democratic Labor Party would have occurred before the last election. The public passed judgment, so he needs to take up whatever issues he's having with whoever he had the issues with.
Okay, my eyes take issues with the leadership of the DLP too? And let me ask you this question, since I have you here now, right? Look, I've said this to you. I've said it to you publicly. I am prepared to also say that I've said it to you privately, right? I really don't think that the young people in the Democratic Labor Party now need to be losing too much sleep over the Patrick Kings of this world, right? What I think the people and the young people in the DLP need to be doing is losing sleep over the pace of candidate selection and the pace at which the party is beginning to put itself in order. In this regard, can you comment on this rumor that is circulating about the nomination in St. Philip North? Are you in a position to do so?
Well, I do not have the facts as it relates to the matter you raised, so I cannot comment.
Are there any constituencies where candidates have been declared that you are in a position to comment on?
If there was any information available for public consumption, the General Secretary would have circulated that information.
What about information for private consumption? I mean, it's just you and me talking, huh?
Private, but if it's private, obviously, we can't comment on it.
No, but you can tell me. You ain't got to tell nobody else.
Well, you trying to confirm what Mr. King said. I was dumb enough.
No. Just pretend that nobody's listening. You're having a conversation with me.
Mr. Vickery, you're trying to thwart me off for the point that I called the program for.
Because the point that you called the program and now you need to be wasting time with Kimar. Kimar, I have said to you, and I have said to others, I think that you guys are a bright set of young people, and I'm including you in that group, Simon Allen, the guy Ryan Walters. I consider you guys to be a bright group of young people that should be given a chance. My concern is that you are allowing yourself to be distracted by Patrick King. Listen, if you allow Patrick King to throw you off, you can get thrown off each and every thing. Because Patrick King is not a candidate for the Barbados Labour Party. Patrick King's purpose in life is to throw you guys off.
Okay.
So see what I am giving you as good counsel, and that is free advice from somebody who is a political consultant. So this is the reason why I ain't letting you distract yourself with that. I am asking you about what is going on in the DLP and if there's any truth to these rumors. Because I've heard rumors that Verla has been nominated for St. Lucie. I've heard rumors now that Michael Ashley has been nominated for St. Philip North. Okay? I've heard other rumors as well, but let me just stop at those two and ask you, is there any kind of nomination going on in the DLP at all?
The party has made progress as it relates to candidates, yes. However, you are continuing on the mantra of trying to distract and disturb and to focus on, I would say, negative perceptions. There's a lot more positive information that can be spoken about as it relates to the Democratic Labour Party.
Like what, so, sir?
The party has made significant strides in rebuilding its ethos.
Yeah.
The party, as you say, we are trying to get new members in. We have quite a new brigade of young candidates coming in. And obviously, it's a political party where challenges will occur. And this is the spirit of democracy. And the party is moving forward in selecting candidates. And we are obviously strategically picking our spokespersons. We had Ryan Walters out there making good comments. I made good comments. The president made her comments as well. So we are making significant progress as a party. I'm aware that you keep saying that the party is taking long to put.
Man, it's taking long. Yeah.
But we need to be totally cohesive as an organization before we spread ourselves too thin, Mr. Vickam.
The problem is that they're taking long before, too, because one of my concerns with Stuart was that he'd be taking too long to do everything, you know? And listen, this thing that's going on in Guyana, to me, is reflective of the fact that people who take long to act don't do well in politics. And, you know, I think we saw it in Barbados, we saw it in Grenada, and we now seeing it in Guyana. The cost of slow acting, generally speaking, politically, you pay a high price. For the record, Patrick King has just messaged the program, and Patrick King said that he did not mention your name, and he was not speaking about you in any way, shape, or form. Those are usually the words that Patrick uses, so you need to get your facts straight. Two other WhatsAppers have messaged and said that Patrick did not mention anyone's name. Exactly. Another guy says, I do not recall Patrick mentioning anyone's name other than Ms. Verla De Pisa. So, Kimar, you are off the hook. And I would encourage you to return to the Huskins and continue the work that you have been doing. The question, of course, could come up is, what constituency are you interested in? Or that's also confidential.
When the time is appropriate, I'll make the information public, Mr. Vickam.
At the right time, the appropriate hour.
Yes.
Fair enough. It was good to hear from you. Good to hear from you. Take care. All right. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I've seen a message here from Stetson. I think that's for Michelle, not for me. Right. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Fair enough. It was good to hear from you.
Morning.
Yes, good morning. Good morning.
Morning. But you've been here long.
Man, I'm sorry.
Long.
But there's, as Kimar was just saying, you know, sometimes you just gotta wait long to get good things. And there's a DLP waiting long too, so good things might be happening.
Yeah, I hear Paddy can't mention his name, but John.
But turn on the radio, no? Turn on the radio. Just take a minute and turn on the radio. And while you're doing that, I would just remind people that you can call us on 434-1790. And that myself and Michelle are with you until 2 p.m. Good afternoon. Good morning, sir.
Yeah.
Great. Good. Carry on. He didn't.
Yeah, I called him away, right? I haven't heard nothing about Wales in the last couple of months and years. Euros.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know when we want to hear something about the road, fixing it or something.
The road. Where? Which road?
White Hill Road.
Oh, the White Hill Road. Right. Okay. All right. That's a reasonable question to ask, sir. I think enough time has passed that you should hear something specific.
Hear something about the road.
So I'm happy that you put that on the radio, and hopefully you will get a response in short order. We need to hear something on the White Hill Road situation.
And the water woes, too.
The water what?
The water woes.
Water woes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The water, let me get water out for 2 and 3 days, but I'm stretching this in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The water is terrible, man.
Yeah, no, it's not good enough. It really isn't good enough.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Thank you for calling. There's a lady here who is saying, I think it's a lady. Peter, you were trying to pick Kimar, and I love the way that he handled you. It shows that he is neither dumb nor stupid, which is certainly not what I suggested. I wish they would give you a job like they gave Sanka Price and get you off the program. Good riddance. Well, ma'am, what I can tell you is that the likelihood of anyone giving me a job and getting me off the program at this stage is quite low. So I'm afraid you're going to have to deal with me for a little longer because there is no intention on my part to go any other place than France, as I said to a caller just now. So while I'm in the country, sadly, yeah, you know, until Starcom decide to get rid of me, you can have to contend with me a little bit from time to time. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Yeah, how are you doing, sir?
Not too bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me start getting you some marks now, see? You know you and I.
An assessment.
This is the worst program that you ever carry on for your morning. Whoa. Since I know you as a moderator. I don't know if you're preparing yourself to go to CBC. Because that is the type of behavior you get at CBC. But when it comes to VOB, you have an educational and informative program. But the behavior that I heard you getting out of it this morning is beyond the standard.
But how is that?
VOB. Now, let me start out.
Sure.
I don't say things like, let's say, as a moderator, that was a political analyst and should be knowledgeable. I heard this morning some things coming out about Nelson that you was part and parcel of. Now let me tell you and the callers something. And especially Mark, I can get to that. When Nelson was placed in Bridgeton, it was nothing to do with Nelson at the point in time. You must recognize that we were a colony. People don't want to hear these things. And the people that were the colonists who were subject to the Queen believed then that Nelson had played an important role for England on behalf of the royal family. And they put down Nelson down here. But let me tell them now something. And you, if anyone moved Nelson, go take down Queen Elizabeth Hospital. The Queen Elizabeth Hospital was built from the Colonial Welfare Department in England. That money came from England. Go now and look at Parliament. All of these money that was coming from England. And if you don't know, Fontenelle, Holborn, all of them is names that came out of England. We went as far as Barbadians, as the name of cricket teams and as subjects to England, like Yorkshire, Melbourne, all them cricket teams. This thing is no start. But I want you to understand this. Now, Mark is talking about putting Ernest Dighton Motley. He only called it Ernest Dighton Motley. Ernest Dighton Motley was the mayor of Bridgetown. Where did the word mayor come from, Peter? Where did the word mayor come from? Ernest Dighton Motley did a service to Barbados, especially around Bridgetown, under the aegis of the colonial office. When he was the mayor of Bridgetown, it was part of England. And he got his finances from England. And that's why I'm glad that the Prime Minister said she don't jump on the bandwagon. It is foolishness that you sit down and encourage people to come and talk all over the head.
Encourage?
And you as an educated panelist and moderator, sit down.
But don't think I can deal with you shortly too, so don't worry.
I don't have a problem with that.
But don't worry, I can deal with you, but I let you finish. If what?
You have committed something that nobody else in this country has ever done.
Who
you should be a hero too.
Who?
You, Peter Lincoln, should be a hero.
For doing what?
Well, you know the Maoris that you put down here.
So is guy a hero for getting married?
I'm
glad.
Life for this country.
Well, I'm sure it offends some, but that's how it goes. I want you to finish though, because I'm gonna say some things to you that will probably make you upset.
I want to deal with this last section. David Denny, listen to this. David Denny, Caribbean mover of peace and integration. Coming from the ambassador of CARICOM.
Mm-hmm.
How many killings do we have in Jamaica? Obviously this morning I heard an ugly number came over with the amount of killings in Jamaica, black people. Have you heard Coming from or David Denny, who is the Caribbean movement for peace and integration, said it going to Jamaica and talk to the people in Jamaica and try to get peace? You hear them talking, I think so? Let me ask you a question, please.
Can I let you finish? Because you tell me as the worst moderator.
I'd never said that. I said it the today, worst morning I ever heard you
right.
Moderating.
And I got to tell you that you and I have interacted on these calls several times. It is the worst call. So we on good grounds. Let me start, as Bajans would say, let me start at the first beginning, right?
Yeah.
Because you started to deal with this whole question of statues. You were asking me questions. Let me ask you a question. Why do you erect a statue of someone? Why do we have a statue of Bassa? Why do we have a statue of Errol Barrow? Why do we have a statue of Grant Lee Adams? Why do we have a statue of Sir Garfield Sobers? Who is the next one? Why do we have a statue of Sir Frank Walker?
I just tell you, the reason for the statue is never to do with Nelson.
I asked you, why do we erect statues of people?
And I tell you why the
But you were telling me about who getting money. I'm not asking about that. I'm asking for a contemporary conversation. No.
How you could ask?
You know why? Well, let me tell you my view on it, okay?
Yeah, let me
go into Independence Square and I look up and I see Errol Barrow, I believe that as a younger person, I'm not young anymore, I am supposed to take inspiration from Errol Barrow. When I take tourists around Barbados, friends of mine that come to visit, and I show them the various monuments and whatnot, I am able to say to them, this monument was erected to remember Errol Barrow so that we get inspiration from him. This was the first Prime Minister of Barbados. He took Barbados into independence. So Frank Walker is the reason why we have a national insurance scheme, because he was the most outstanding labor leader that we had.
I am not talking foolishness.
And I am saying to you, sir, I am saying to you, when it comes to Nelson, I have to say to them, there was a time when a set of white people in Barbados raised money and built Nelson because they felt that Nelson reflected what they thought was good about the British Empire. We have subsequently discovered that there were a lot of things that were not to be celebrated. And certainly if you compare what happens in the United States with now, where they had Confederate generals that had statues all over the place, because at the time they were put up, people felt that their fight to preserve slavery in the South was something that ought to be celebrated. You know what? We now know better. And the point I'm making is that in a world where we are building statues of Earl Barr and Sir Frank Walcott, to me, there is no place for Nelson, Lord Nelson.
All right, let me
and I am sorry. I am sorry, sir. The fact that it was built by British people in the colonial times with British money, it means nothing to me. No, let's go further. Because I listen to you, but you're going to listen to me now. Let's go further, right? And let's talk about the other issues and the other symbolisms surrounding this thing. Because that's another part of my concern. And I spoke about the cat and nine tails. Right? It is something that was a tool of oppression that was celebrated during slavery because it kept black people in check. We have it in the museum. So my point is that I am not suggesting to anyone that you should throw Nelson in the sea. I can't say you should forget Nelson. He cannot be forgotten. He's part of our history. Our history belongs in the museum. I do not believe that there is a role for celebrating anyone in that way. And that's the reason why I cannot support it. So, sir, you would say that it's because the British, there's a difference between Lord Nelson and the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. There's a difference between Lord Nelson and the Parliament buildings.
How we get different? One is the mother country. And you talk about where did Arba receive his legal education? Where did all these people that you're talking about
Arba received his legal education the same place that my mother received her nurse training? Because in those days, if you wanted to be a lawyer or a nurse, you had to go there to receive your training. That's the way it was done.
Because we were colonies.
Well, you know what? But you know what? We're not colonies anymore.
I went to
You could as well, because I really didn't know where you're going with this.
You could talk. You got the whole day. Peter, there is a movement in Barbados. I think it may be Integrity something. I went to a meeting. And the colonies that subject to the Queen, a lot of corruption could be caught in the eyes of
the
public.
I would be the last to deny that.
Right? And let me say this to you. You got on air talking about Auditor General report. Like if Barbados is the first time they ever had an Auditor General report, if he brings an Auditor General report on the previous government, you would shake your head in shame. And you sit down in there and you trying to make people believe that the worst thing that ever happened in Barbados is the last 10 years that went long in this country. And I am a person who reached the stage. I don't have to belong to no political party.
This is fine. Right?
Listen, let me finish, man. Because you got me real angry this morning.
I'm glad to hear that. I can see the passion. The passion is good. Let it come out.
When it comes to workers in this country and the things that happen in this country, you know, here what I'm talking about, boss bonds. Listen, Chris Sinclair in 2015 introduced 20% bond in this country before me and Marley, but over all people could have take care of the bonds, they could have buy into the bonds. And this, the credit union lost over $30 million in the last restructuring. Who is workers' money? And you both here talking a lot of nonsense. And I need to tell you this, Patrick King has a right to talk where he likes to talk, because he could attack who he wants to. You know, he even attacked the representative in St. James North. I don't know when he go home, but he was having the street comfortable. Hinkson. Huh? You think that Patrick said on the air on his Facebook about Edmund Hinkson, and I did a parliamentarian. I wish him to go home, my wife. Look,
damn it,
I got my blood pressure gone, man.
All right. I wanted to say some things in response, but you talk right up to the news, so unfortunately, no, you get the last word. But that's no problem. You and I will talk again, because we need to go back. We need back to go back to this whole question of making comparisons between the hospital and the statues and so on. I think we need to go back to it. But anyhow, you win some, you lose some, and I guess you can say you won this one. It's now time for the regional roundup. It's 11:54. We go to the regional roundup. We come back to you in about 10 minutes, and we do hope you will stay with us as we continue for another program on Dr. Brass Stats. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Remember, we're here with you until 2 p.m. 434-1790 is the number that you can call. We take a break at 12:30 for the latest news. I just want to read a couple of WhatsApp messages. There's one here. Peter, is a permanent solution for dealing with Lord Nelson. The government of Barbados should contract the government of Antigua and Barbuda and make a gift of the statue for Nelson's dockyard in Antigua. After all, he lived there and he has more of an attachment to that country. Please also read out this list for me. Here's my partial list of political, degenerate political scallywags of Barbados. So I can't read that. No, man, I can't read that. I don't even think I'm allowed to say scallywag, am I? No, I can't say scallywag either. So, sorry about that. Peter, please tell the last mission. Gosh, but I can't. I hope you have an ambulance on standby for some of your callers. I can tell you a lot of people might need an ambulance today. If I ever saw a statue of Joseph Goebbels or Heinrich Himmler, and there are good reasons why that is not so. Why are Barbadians so passionate when it comes to Nelson? And you know, that's certainly very true. I've been to Germany many times, several cities, and I have never seen a statue of any of those people. There is your history, but do you always need to celebrate that history? In many instances, and I think that is the important point. Even if you look at the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, their relationship with Stalin is an interesting one, because while there are many that believe that Stalin was, and certainly his great purge, saved the Soviet Union, there are many also who focus more on the evil that he did, and for that reason, statues of him have been desecrated in many instances, and they have that very uncomfortable relationship. So I get where the caller is coming from, where the WhatsApper is coming from, and I understand the point fully. So of course, Dave Brown sends me something that he wants me to read, but if you know Dave Brown, you know the type of language, very colorful as it is, which I absolutely find entertaining, but it's not radio ready. So he's suggesting that we should have a statue of Nanny Greg facing Nelson. the issue, of course, is the insertion of a particular Barbadian word or phrase three times in the three lines of the thing that he sent to me. So I fortunately can't read that, but yeah. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Good afternoon, welcome, you're on the air.
Hi. Mr. Wickham?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good.
Yeah, first-time caller.
Mm-hmm. You sounded like somebody else. I didn't realize, but welcome.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just want to make a few things about the election in Guyana.
Mm-hmm. Sure, go ahead.
Yeah. You is a political analyst, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that what was unearthed in the boxes in Guyana is free and fair elections?
I don't know. It's not for me to say.
Okay. I thank you very much.
But nobody, I would ask you this question. When did it become obvious that there was hanky-panky? When did that become obvious to you as a Guyanese? I presume you're a Guyanese. When did obvious to you?
When they went into the boxes.
So you were comfortable with the result as declared by Lowenfield before?
In every election we had in Guyana, everybody was comfortable because nobody never went in back to the boxes.
No, they've had recounts before. That's not true.
Nope.
They've
not,
had recounts before.
In Guyana.
Sir,
not
they have had recounts. Sir, they have had recounts before.
Mr.
That's a fact.
Wickham, in you.
All right. I'm not going to get into this argument with you. They've had recounts before, but the more important point I want to understand is you are not at all troubled by the fact that you had a process that made a declaration regarding what was in the boxes that is inconsistent with what is being said to be in the boxes. Now that part doesn't bother you at all? So the same boxes were counted and you get one figure. The same boxes are counted again, and you get a second figure. And you're not concerned about the distance between the two figures?
Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir.
I agree with you with the figures.
Right. But does that bother you at all?
You know, you hold a minute. When the CARICOM prime ministers who went down to Guyana, what did their agreement, what did they sign for?
For a recount.
And for and what do we count must what must be a recount?
Is a recount is a recount, sir. No, sir, election? sir. You're doing the same thing that President Granger has done, but you know what? It's not working with me. Because if you say to me, I want a recount of what is in those ballot boxes, I want you to open the boxes and I want you to verify that what is on the statement of polls is actually what is in the ballot boxes. That's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where is this other conversation coming in now?
Mr. Wickham, they make an agreement with the CARICOM heads
for a recount.
They will do a recount.
A recount.
And to verify.
No, sir, there was an agreement to a recount.
To verify.
Sir, there was an agreement for. Sir, there was an agreement for a recount.
So, all right.
Look, you see, the problem you're going to have with me is that I am not in a mood to entertain anybody telling lies on the radio. Right?
Okay.
The agreement was for a recount. Now, anyone who is involved in this business knows what a recount is. It means you open the boxes and you record the information that was in that box.
Okay. All right, Mr. Wickham, if you open a box, right,
mm-hmm.
and you can't find no documents to reconcile the vote in the box, what would you do with that box?
Sir, if I could not find any documents to reconcile the votes that were in the box, what it says to me is that the first time I counted, I couldn't find any documents to reconcile it either. Unless, of course, you're suggesting to me that something happened with the votes going into the box between the first and the second count.
Mr. Wickham, if GCOM said that they cannot find the documents...
GCOM hasn't said that. I don't know that to be the case.
Yeah, GCOM said...
Sir, hold on a second. If you... When you are doing... Sir, when you are doing a count... Right, of the votes in a box.
Yeah.
The procedure that you follow the first time and the second time is identical. Okay?
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yes.
Right. So my question is, why is that you can find them things the second time, but you never said you couldn't find them the first time? Why didn't you look for them the first time?
Mr. Wickham, Sir GCOM is telling lies.
But that's pretty obvious. It was obvious to everybody in the Caribbean that GCOM telling lies. Because you now have a situation where GCOM is saying that their own process that they manage is flawed. Sir, I have never heard, I've been in this business for 20 years, I have never heard any election commission anywhere in the Caribbean or indeed anywhere in the world saying, I managed an election and what I did was flawed. So the information that I collected the first time is wrong.
Because they never went back into the boxes.
Yeah. So this is the first time they ever had a recount anywhere in the world?
No, in Guyana, I know about.
Sir, I honestly don't think you know what you're talking about.
You know what
the problem that you're having is that you're unhappy with the idea that the APNU got beaten. That's what you are unhappy about.
It's not a matter of
but that is all it is.
Beaten when you get beaten.
Sir, that is all it is. You are unhappy with the fact that the APNU has lost.
No documents in a box in a
because I see a situation in which in the middle of a count, a person change strategy, come in with a spreadsheet, read out the information, they refuse to produce the statement of polls that supported that information. And now they're telling me that I am to concern myself with the fact that there wasn't a poll book in anything and that they had people that dead that were voted that walking about in Guyana today alive.
Mr. Wickham, if you can't find no documents in the box, how could you recognize?
Sir, that's not what I understand to be the case. There were documents in the box. Clearly, you didn't look the first day because you weren't bothered by them not being there the first day.
Mr. Wickham,
what are you laughing at? This is not a laughing matter.
I laugh because when the box they come the first time, it was come at the.
You know what I find?
Station.
You know what I find fascinating?
At the polling station.
Right. So it means they didn't look for the poll book the first time.
At the polling station. Was
they didn't look for the poll book the first time.
Was prepared at the polling station. That GCOM, they come at the polling station.
So in the polling station, they were not looking for the poll books. I'm asking that question. Did they look for poll books at the polling station?
Mr. Wickham, I don't know.
Well, no. So hold on a second. If a recount is a verification of the first count, any documentation that you look for the second time, you should look for the first time.
Mr. Com, the document.
And you know the scandalous thing about all of this? You know the scandalous thing about all of this? One of the documents. One of the documents. Sir, sir.
At the polling station.
All right. One of the documents that.
Documentation putting at the polling station, Mr. Com.
Sir, one of the documents. Sir, you're talking nonsense. Honestly, you are. And you know what fascinates me is that the persons who are running this process have the capacity to say silly things, and then they have people like you repeating them as though they're gospel.
Yes.
Sir, it is not making sense. It is not making sense. You are responsible for a process as GCOM. You are charged with the responsibility of running an election fairly and squarely. You have scrutineers inside the polling stations that ensure that every person who voted is named on the list. You are able now, days after the election or weeks after the election, to come up with a list of people who voted that were dead. And my question to you is, if you knew they were dead, if you knew they were dead, why did you not get their names taken off during claims and objections? Poll books. We can get to the poll books.
I asked them about the poll books and the documents are supposed to be inside the box.
This conversation isn't going anywhere in a productive way. So I feel you should just make your closing remarks and then you can discontinue.
Because
you need to display your level of knowledge of political systems to everyone to hear. Carry on.
If it's simple, with any little child.
Sadly, it's not simple.
Any little child could tell you, right? If you want to reconcile something, what you must get to reconcile it, you don't have things that you got to get to reconcile it with. Don't you have to get documents to reconcile what you want to reconcile with? So if there's no documents, and GCOM themselves said, came out and said that they allow the boxes to come because they do not want no one vote to be disenfranchised. So they allow it to tabulate. Are you going to tell me that GCOM didn't say that they find those boxes without no documents inside? Mr. Lecom, get off this, man.
Right. Thanks a lot for calling, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Because I always admire people who have the capacity to say things. And then, you know, everyone will just repeat them as though they were gospel. I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air. 434-1790, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Mom. How are you doing? Good to hear you.
I'm good. I just want to make a few comments.
Feel free.
On the statue.
Oh, lovely.
Situation.
You like
I
it?
I agree that Nelson should be removed. But so should all other statues. The slave statue, Barbadians have moved forward, and we are no longer slaves.
Which is the slave statue? You mean Bussa?
Yes, all of them, all of them. And
but not all of them? Which are the other ones you're talking about?
Nelson, especially Nelson and Bussa. I think that there is a part across the Carenage that they could put all those statues and have a brief history showing the evolution of Barbados. And this way it's accessible to tourists, locals, children, that we can still understand our history. Barbados is not only about black slaves, there were also white slaves. And I think that people have to realize that, yes, the statue should be removed. And the other thing that I want to make a comment about is the march, Black Lives Matter. I stand in solidarity with that. What was disappointing was that the founder of the march brought up other issues and that Barbados does not identify with. We do not have white policemen shooting black people. We have black Bajans killing each other, burning down their own houses, so to speak. And to bring that up, changing the name of the police to a different name. To bring that out at a time when people are hurting, it's like saying, okay, you got your leg chopped off, but I got my finger stuck. Mm. I didn't agree with that happening right now. I don't know if it was an act of self-suffice. And yes, we have issues here in Barbados. We have crime to fight. We have a COVID-19 to get over. And those, bringing up those other issues at a time like this, to me, was inappropriate. I am of a unique combination, with black being the most prominent. I cannot see black as black, and I cannot see white as white. I see right as right or wrong as wrong. And I think that Bajans trying to lose their identity. All of a sudden, we have Thanksgiving and we have midnight shopping madness like big countries. I think we need to own our identity and don't try to bring other people's problems to our tables. Stand with them, support them, yes, but don't make them our problems. Thank you.